Jude, servant of Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you all. Those are the first three verses of the book of Jude. And together with the nine verses that we read earlier, you've now heard half of the entire book of Jude. It's only 25 verses in total. So few verses that it's not even broken down into chapters. There's no chapter 1, there's no chapter 2, it's just Jude. Compared with the letters of St. Paul, whose run-on sentences are 25 verses long, it's a simple little book. Poor Jude. The letter of Jude seems so unpretentious, tucked in as it is between those beautiful letters of St. John and then the revelation of St. John. Kind of goes unnoticed. Simple Jude. His 25 little verses in the Greek don't really contain that much complicated grammar. It's a pretty simple little letter with a pretty simple little message. Beware of false teachers and keep the faith. Poor ignored Jude. The commentators and the scholars, they mostly ignore him. They talk about Jude when they talk about somebody else. They say his letter just repeats what St. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2. Some of them say, well, Jude must have just copied St. Peter. Copied what he had to say, and poorly at that. Plagiarist. And some critics even wonder if Jude even wrote it himself. But who would bother to impersonate Jude? Poor Jude. Have you ever felt ignored? Have you ever felt like you were speaking the truth, but nobody ever listened to you? Then, all of a sudden, somebody important says the same thing, maybe in different words, maybe in better words, and everybody listens to them. Poor Jude. Nobody knows anything about him. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark mention his name, but they merely just say that he was a son of Joseph and Mary, a half-brother of Jesus. When Jesus is rejected in his hometown of Nazareth, Matthew 13:55 puts the crowd's reaction to Jesus this way, mentioning Jude. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Jude? So even there, Jude's last on the list. Poor little Jude. Have you ever been left out? Have you ever been in a room where everybody seems to know everybody else except for you? Have you ever been that small, skinny kid who was picked last for every ball game, it seems like, when they're choosing up sides? Can you imagine growing up with a half-brother who is Jesus? I can just see it. Okay, let's play capture the flag. Jesus and James are captains. Choose up sides. Well, Jesus lets James pick first. And second. And James picks Joseph and Simon. And let's say Jesus picks poor little Jude. He gets stuck with poor little Jude. And guess whose team wins? And guess who scores all the points, too? Poor little Jude. Well, can you imagine Jude listening to Mary and Joseph sometime about how the angels foretold the birth of his brother Jesus, and how these wise men came bearing these wonderful gifts, and how Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus down to Egypt and back. Perhaps little Jude asks, well, how did my birth come about? In the normal way, here in Nazareth. Have you ever had to play second fiddle to a sibling who walked on water? And even, get this, even when Jesus gets left at the temple, he's 12 years old, and he's finally supposed to get it, right? Jesus talks his way out of it. Or at least that's the way Jude maybe saw it. Poor Jude. Maybe a bit jealous Jude. Maybe a bit of a doubter Jude. Well, more than maybe. The Gospel of John only alludes to Jude in a general way, not by name, and not very flatteringly, as someone who rejected Jesus as the Messiah. After all, Jesus didn't pick him to be one of his 12 closest disciples. John 7:5 merely says, "For not even his brothers believed in him." Not even his brother Jude believed in Jesus. So when you hear today Jude say in our text, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, Jude wasn't one of those. "They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions." Jude himself had not been one of those disciples or apostles. He was one of the scoffers. He had been a doubter. Doubting Jude. Unbelieving Jude. One devoid of the Spirit. One filled with worldly passions. And one who was causing divisions, maybe in his own family. But the resurrection of Jesus changed all that. For you see, after the resurrection, Jude became a believer. St. Luke writes in Acts 1:14 that after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the disciples came back to Jerusalem. They came back to that upper room. And it says this, "All these," the disciples, "with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers," including Jude. Again, no mention of Jude, but his brothers. And in St. Paul's list of the resurrection appearances of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul mentions that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared first to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 other people, and once even specially, not just to Paul, but to Jesus' brother, James. There's no mention of Jude. Maybe he's within that 500 others. Poor Jude. And then, when St. Peter leaves Jerusalem to join Paul in Antioch, who's left in charge of the church in Jerusalem? Not Jude, but his brother James. So perhaps it's not so surprising that Jude starts his letter so unpretentiously. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James. Jude identifies himself as a brother of James, not a half-brother of Jesus. Why do you think that is? I think it's because Jude knows that his blood relationship with Jesus is really not worth very much. But he knows who Jesus is now. He knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. And he knows that the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross was shed for him and for you and for me. That's what makes the eternal difference. So you, if you've ever felt alone or ignored, if you've ever felt overshadowed by someone, if you've ever felt that you've been treated as if you have no value, if someone else has always taken the limelight in your life, and if you've ever had doubts about yourself, or doubts about your faith, then listen to the words of the Holy Spirit speaking through Jude. For he calls to you. He says to those who are called, beloved by God the Father, and being kept by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, calling you in your baptism and in His Word, saying you are the beloved of the Father. You are the one being kept for Jesus Christ. In these latter days, as we wait for the return of Jesus our Lord, the message of Jude is simple. Be forewarned. There will be scoffers and doubters. There will be false teachers, and they'll be among you. Deal with it. How do you deal with it? But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy, hating even this garment of the flesh. It's a simple message, really. A simple message from a simple man who became a brother of Jesus because of the mercy of God. It's a simple message of God's forgiveness and mercy for you. You and I, who have become likewise brothers and sisters of Christ. Why? Because of what Christ did for you and for me. Through Christ, our Heavenly Father will keep you from stumbling. Through Christ, our Heavenly Father will present you blameless before the throne of God in all His glory that we heard about you earlier, and with great joy. So when you hear in the words of Daniel 7, I saw, behold, the clouds of heaven. There came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. That is what Christ is coming to do for you, to present you blameless before the throne of the Father in heaven. For the Son of God came to be a son of man, to redeem the sins of the rest of us, and to present us as blameless. And when you hear in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13 today, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, And he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. That is what Christ is coming to do for you. For you. To gather you, the elect, the faithful, from the ends of the earth and the ends of heaven. Whether you're dead or alive, he'll find you and he'll bring you to present you blameless before God the Father. For this is the promise. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. St. Paul puts it in much nicer language than Jude. And so when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray the words of the Lord's Prayer today, and when you say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen," then you should know with absolute certainty that this is the promise of God, that he will hear you. He will hear you. And he will be pleased to hear you. Because you know who Christ is and what Christ has done for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to him who is able to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for prayer. Almighty and everlasting Father, you are worthy of praise and worship for all your mighty acts of creation, for your grace in preserving all that you have made, and for redeeming us sinners from sin and death through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We give thanks to you, O Father. O Christ, we give you thanks for your church and for your word. As you established your church through your own blood, we pray you to keep her steadfast and faithful as we face the latter days before you bring your kingdom in power. Bless those who proclaim the gospel in your name and administer the sacraments according to your institution, Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for calling us sinners to repentance and teaching our fearful hearts to believe. Grant us courage that we may anticipate with joy Christ's return in glory and faithfully follow his way so that the world may be ready to receive him when he comes as Lord and Judge of all. Open the hearts of all who hear your word that they may believe in Jesus and be saved. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks for those who serve according to your goodwill to restrain evil, to promote virtue, and ensure justice, so that with your help we may live our lives in holiness and honesty. Bless those who protect and defend us both near and far, including our armed forces, our police, firefighters, and our emergency medical people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, comfort and sustain all who struggle with illness, those who live with pain, those who suffer the afflictions of body and mind, and those who suffer adversity, and also those who are in peril of death, especially the servants that we now name aloud or in our hearts. Michael, Edna, William. According to your gracious will, grant them healing and relief. Give them patience in their afflictions, and give them faith that your grace will be sufficient for all their need. Lord, in your mercy. Deliver to us the bounty of the earth, and give us the grace to acknowledge your blessings. Make us mindful of those in need, that we may use your gifts faithfully and for the relief of those who live in want. Open our hearts to the joy of giving, that we may return to you what is already yours, worshiping you with our lips and our lives, and bringing to you the tithes and offerings of a grateful heart. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our families, preserve us from danger, and protect all who travel. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve us, O Father, in the day of trouble, and guard us in our prosperity, for our time here is temporary, and our only eternal home is the one you have prepared for us in Jesus Christ. All these things and everything else you would have us ask, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Trusting in our Lord and mindful of the prayer that He has taught us and the kingdom that He has given and promised to us, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.